Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening, and welcome to an adventure in history. I'm Alana Quila with Providence Seaside Hospital, here tonight with Mac Burns, Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. And tonight we have a very intriguing guest.
Ooh, yes. I like that I'm forcing you to think of new adjectives.
I know, and I should be thinking of these ahead of time.
But you don't.
But I'm not.
That's what it makes, because you're such a planner. That's what makes me laugh that you haven't. I called her out because she always introduced every guest was a special guest.
Okay.
And I said, okay, they're all special, but you should mix it up a little bit. So now she's on the spot.
Yes. New adjectives. Thank you. If you don't recognize just by that little bit, do you want to just say your name before we?
This is Dan Gaffney.
Dan Gaffney.
We're so glad you're here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do we have anything, you know, besides be careful out there, because the hospital, and you could say this, but I'm going to say it for you.
Okay.
The medical profession, not just the hospitals, but the medical professions are overwhelmed right now. So mm-hmm. Be smart.
Yes. Be kind. Wear a mask and get vaccinated. Plenty of opportunities to do so. You can go to Clatsop County Health Department website to learn all of the places and opportunities.
Or isolate, or take all of the safety precautions you can.
Yes.
But not horse medicine.
Oh, yes, correct.
but enough of that.
Unless you're a horse.
Unless you're a horse, of course.
Yes.
Mr. Okay. Ed.
I almost started singing it. I had to fight the urge. So.
Mac does like to sing on this show.
I love TV tunes.
Oh,
I've always
loved
TV tunes.
That makes sense.
And we've lost that. There's just something, I mean, I think with all the internets, the YouTubes and all those videos,
yes.
the sitcom and other TV shows from my childhood in the mm-hmm. 70s and 80s, we've gone away from TV theme songs.
Yes, we have.
So anyway, I don't know why I'm on that soapbox now, but shall we get to it? Because this
Let's
is going to be a good show. So the history highlights, I don't have that many today.
Okay.
And it's not unprecedented, but I have a twin bill for the history highlight of the day. Oh. I couldn't decide which one, so I'll let the two of you vote and decide which one.
Oh, okay.
But the two that didn't make, the top ones, on this date, and these are things that happen tomorrow.
Got it.
So again, while you're out having a barbecue or...
Yeah, getting ready to go back to school,
yeah. Back to school shopping, you can bring up these fun facts with the family. 1901, President William McKinley is shot by an anarchist.
Oh.
And of course, that gives way for Teddy Roosevelt, TR, one of my favorites.
Yes.
So I'm feeling badly that President McKinley is shot, but
sure.
I'm also kind of happy that the TR becomes president.
In
so
hindsight, yes.
I'm kind of torn on that one. Let's see, 1915, the first tank is produced. 1915, a prototype tank named Little Willie rolls off the assembly line in England. He was far from an overnight success. He weighed 14 tons,
Ooh.
Got stuck in trenches, and crawled over rough terrain at only 2 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But they made improvements over time.
Sure.
Okay, but the two that I was torn on between which one had the most impact on history, 1522, and you know I usually don't go back that far, Magellan's expedition circumnavigating the globe is completed.
Oh.
Magellan round
yeah.
the world.
Wow.
He's my favorite explorer, I think.
Yeah.
So it's one of his five ships, the Victoria, arrives in Spain, completing the first circumnavigation of the world. It makes the world a smaller place all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought it was so important. The Victoria was commanded by Basque navigator Juan Sebastian de Alcañol.
Ooh,
I'm probably mispronouncing his name, who took charge of the vessel after the death of Magellan in the Philippines in April of 1521. So they started out with five ships.
Oh, wow.
And when they finally make it all the way back around, let's see, I know I wrote this down. They began with 270 men and five ships, and when they get back, it is down to 17 European and four Native Americans.
Wow.
And it always amazes me. I mean, if you go on, like when we had the tall ships here, the mm-hmm. Hawaiian Chieftain, mm-hmm. you go on those things and they're so tiny.
They are.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine going around the world in those things.
Yeah. With such little information.
Yes.
Or no information, really.
Exactly.
And with scurvy. But and I chose that one because it makes the world a smaller place. Yep. We know it's round. We know if we go this direction, we'll come back the other direction. But the other thing that happened on this date that I thought also had a huge impact, 1916, the first true supermarket, the Piggly Wiggly, is opened by Clarence Saunders in Memphis, Tennessee. Supermarkets, it changes everything.
Yeah.
So I was torn.
Those are tough.
So which one would you say had a bigger impact on our lives?
Well, without one, you wouldn't have the other. So I guess.
Yeah, I think circumnavigating the world.
See, that was my first choice. And then I saw the Piggly Wiggly one. And I thought, well, that's kind of tough because, you know, for everybody listening, we go to supermarkets of some kind.
Yeah. Sure.
Whether it's the Co-op or Fred Meyer or Safeway or Walmart. I've named all the big ones here.
There you go.
Or what's the one in Warrenton? The Main Street? Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Main Street Market.
Yeah. Main Street Market. I love that one, too.
That's a good one.
Okay.
That's probably more along the lines of Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah. That's kind of why I love it. I feel like I'm stepping back in time. I know. It's not huge. It's not overwhelming.
But it's so cute. It's very nice.
They got what you need.
Yeah. Okay. And the parking is pretty good. All right. So that's the big history highlights.
There's one you miss.
What did I miss?
Maybe not the highlight of the day. I know. 1965, Patricia Harris takes post as U.S. ambassador to Belgium, and she is the first African-American U.S. ambassador.
Sweet.
And a woman.
What year?
1965.
Oh, for a minute, I thought you said 1916. I was going to say, holy moly.
No, it took a while.
65 still seems kind of early, though. So good.
Yeah. And good Belgium.
Good for LBJ.
Pretty good post.
Because that had to have been his appointment.
Yeah.
So the guy really believed in civil rights.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was probably a pretty good choice.
We know nothing about her. But
I know nothing. Nothing.
It's your homework.
We're going to find out she was terrible.
I know. And
then Belgium threw her out or something. But we like the appointment.
We do. Yes.
All right. So
it's back to school week for most kids and parents and whatnot. So we decided to bring in a former educator who still is in education. As I said earlier, you thought you retired, but you didn't.
That's true. That's true. I guess I was formerly an educator for 37 years, but I think I'm into year 46 or so, something like that.
Yes. Yeah. And you were last at?
I was last at Seaside Heights Elementary. It's a great experience. I spent 17 years in the Seaside School District.
Oh, fine.
Started off as principal there at Seaside Heights, and I went to the district office for a little while. I merely missed the action, missed the kids, the teachers, parents, the community, you know, connection, and was able to go back there and finished up there back in 2013.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah.
And
So back up a little bit, because we definitely want to talk all about that, but back up a little bit, and where did you grow up, and how did you come to be here in Seaside in Oregon?
I grew up in Tacoma, actually across the bay from Tacoma, so up in Puget Sound area, and I think that's maybe a huge part of why I'm here, as my first 12 years, I lived across the bay from Tacoma, looked at Tacoma and the big city and that, and then later on we moved into town. But I lived in a rural setting. You know, there was nothing but woods across the street from my house. And so I spent time out building tree forts and climbing trees and doing other things like that, collecting snakes and frogs and all that fun stuff that you get to do out in the country. I went to Bellarmine Prep in high school, Catholic high school, and then I went back and I taught there. I taught science and math, and was there for 7 years. I coached track and soccer, started the girls' soccer program there, and was involved in campus ministry and that. And then I married an Oregon woman.
Oh, there's the,
there's it.
There's the story.
And I got Oregonized. We spent quite a few weekends traveling from Tacoma down to the Woodburn area, where she spent most of her childhood, Woodburn, St. Paul area. And one day I said, "Would you like to move back to Oregon?" She did not hesitate. So I took a job at Clackamas High School. And coached soccer and track there, as well as teaching math and science. And And that's where I was encouraged by my administrators to consider, if it was something I wanted to do, consider going into administration. And so I thought about it, talked to Mary about that, my wife, and she said, if that's what you want to do, you know, and I saw it as an opportunity to use some leadership skills and make a difference in a different way. So I did that, and my first administrative job was out here at Astoria Middle School.
Oh, wow.
I moved from high school to middle school because, again, I wanted to make a difference. And worked with John Jensen and a wonderful staff at Astoria Middle School.
Oh, I love John.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So since you were at the middle school, and they basically have just totally redone the middle school.
They certainly have.
Not going to talk about bond issue or anything like that, but were the classrooms strange and odd to you, or were they funky and fun?
The diamond was unique. That's most of the classrooms were in this diamond, and being kind of pie-shaped classrooms, they were a challenge to arrange desks and that type of thing, and they definitely limited the number of kids you could squeeze in there and that. But again, the staff did an amazing job, and John had this school well organized, so we really ran it as two schools within a school, because we had fifth and sixth graders as well as seventh and eighth graders. And so the fifth and sixth graders were in self-contained classrooms when I first got there in 1990. And then over time, you know, it shifted a little bit, and physically as well as literally. We kind of made the transition into more of a middle school approach. Fifth grade was moved back into the neighborhood schools, so we made it into a true middle school and exploratory classes and things like that.
So, well, fun. What a good time to be there.
Yeah.
It was transition time.
It was, yeah. And then, actually, I was there after John retired. I wanted to stay as the assistant principal because it was when we were merging with Olney and Lewis and Clark. I felt like if I could stay in doing student management and those kinds of things, have that stability, then we'd be in good shape. And I had a young family and didn't want to dedicate all my time to work and that type of thing. So it worked out great, I think. And a few years later, that's when the job opened up down in Seaside. And I was ready to be a principal, and they thought I was too. So it was great.
So high school, middle school, and then to grade school.
Yep. Mm.
So what's your favorite?
there are so many pluses in each of them. Quite honestly, thoroughly enjoyed each level that I worked at. After being special ed director for a little while there at the school district, I really came to see the great need for kids being better prepared for school, because the separation between, you know, we talk about the opportunity gap, the education gap, it just was getting bigger and bigger. I really saw it when I went back to the Seaside Heights the second time. Because of the special education, I had been working with early intervention children too. So as young as age three. And so that's kind of what took me into retirement was working in what they call P3 work, or pre-kindergarten through grade three, and trying to align the efforts of parents and child care providers, health care providers, social service folks, anybody who was touching the lives of kids from birth on up through age eight or grade three, so that kids could be that much more successful. Because we know that If kids start school behind, it's a really tough road, and sometimes they don't ever catch up.
And this is where Dan and I sort of collide, but I want to go back a little bit, because you're talking about education, but I think you're also talking about population health and community healthcare, but there's a passion for that. So where, when you started in education to where you got to getting involved with P3, when did you start to notice, or did you notice right away, that there was that kids need more than just an education. And when we're thinking education, just books and studying. When did you know that that more was needed for these kids?
You know, I really think it happened early in my teaching career. I was raised in a family that cared about the community and served the community. And in so doing, I saw differences in people, and that some were better off than others. And needing to appreciate what we had and being able to help others was a huge part of my upbringing. And returning to my old high school, it's interesting because when I went there, it was all boys. When I returned, it had merged with the other two girls' Catholic schools and became co-ed and twice the size of what it had been. Mm-hmm. And during my time, my college time, I guess that's when I really began to understand the need to serve and go beyond. And so, you know, we weren't paid particularly well in the private schools, but we were paid in other ways. And that was, you know, being able to help folks and go from there. And you know, it was just kind of one of those things where it was a real benefit to me to have gone there and worked there. But then when I moved into public schools, I could really have a bigger impact and help bring about a more cohesive community. And that was the thing that at Bellarmine we always talked about as a community. And I had the opportunity one year to be the faculty speaker at graduation. And that's what we talked about. That's what I talked about. It was how important it was for those high school graduates to go become a part of another community. And that's what I found here in Clatsop County is, you know, there are so many ways to be part of a community and to contribute. And that's why I'm here, is because I love this community, you know, living in Astoria, working in Seaside, playing soccer out in Warrington. And you know, it's just an amazing place that 31 years ago I moved and never planned to leave.
So talk a little bit. I saw a cartoon once that resonated with me about the old or in the past, and it's the two parents and the teacher looking at the student accusing, saying, "Can you explain these grades?" And then it says nowadays, and the parents are looking at the teacher saying, "Can you explain these grades?" And the kid is behind the parents kind of laughing. And it resonated with me of just, you know, it used to be the parents always supported the teacher, and what can we do to help our child succeed? And is there any truth to that cartoon in that sense? I mean, did you see a change at all in parents and their involvement in their own kids' education or the support at homes for what you do in the classroom or at the school?
Yes and no. Maybe initially, a parent may come in and say, and I will say, I've had parents come to me as a teacher or as a principal and say, "You screwed up. You know, and having an honest conversation helped bring us together. And, you know, if I made a mistake, I would say, "Yeah, I made a mistake. So what do we do to move on from here and make it better?" If I didn't make the mistake, if it was really the child, then I would say, okay, kind of point to the child or go to the child and say, what do you remember from this? Mm-hmm. And get them involved, because they're the most important part of that whole conversation between the parent, the child, and the teacher or principal. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, what it came down to was listening and respecting. And in so doing, we found the common place, and that was to do what was best for the kid. And that was kind of the mantra that I actually took from the principal that I worked with at Clackamas High School, and I carry it with me out here, you know, in every school I worked in. Do what's best for kids. And that means you support the teacher who's doing a good job, or help that teacher do a better job. But it's also helping that kid, helping that parent, helping that community.
And that's what you've been doing since retirement. I mean, I just love your story since then, because I feel like that's what you've just, you just dived right in. So what can you do beyond those school walls to make sure that child gets an education? Children's dental care. You brought, I just don't remember exactly how much, but a $500,000 grant to our area.
I think that's right.
$750,000 maybe.
Thanks to Oregon Community Foundation.
Yes. Big thanks to Oregon Community Foundation. But again, children's dental health was identified as one of the top community needs for children or school-age children in Clatsop County. Dan secured that grant for them. That was a year of your life plus then we took an additional about 5 years.
But so, it was also the help of a lot of dentists and hygienists of our community to help us create a plan that we thought could work, and making sure that we wove in the needs and the opportunities that the five school districts could provide. And so, you know, coming from the education standpoint, I was able to call upon those people that I knew and go from there and got to know some pretty cool dentists and hygienists that, you know, had a passion for kids. And
so when I hear that, I think, well, you must be a dentist or related to dentists. How do you, as an educator, identify dental as one of the needs?
Well,
I mean, how do you get passionate about that?
It wasn't just me. You know, like I said, there was a statewide effort in Oregon Community Foundation, along with, I think, Ford Family
lots of major contributors, financial contributors.
They had identified dental care as a huge need. And it was a major cause of school absences. Mm-hmm. Think about it. If your teeth hurt, you're not going to do well in school, you know? Yeah. And I did have an experience early on when I was at Seaside Heights, when I had one of our instructional assistants who was working in the health room say, "Mr. Gaffney, I need you to come into the health room and take a look at this." And very cute little girl sitting there. And the instructional assistant asked her to open up her mouth. And I looked in and I'm seeing these teeth that have just rotted.
It's heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah. And sorry, I'm an emotional guy. I'll probably have to pull out my handkerchief here. All those staff that know me know exactly what I'm talking about. And so that vision came back to me as Hal Snow, who was very involved with Oregon Community Foundation. He says, "Dan, this grant's out there, and we know that that's an impact, and we got to find somebody to head this up." And I said, "Okay, I got something else going, but I'll see if I can find somebody." And
Hal was a hard man to say no to.
Oh, I would never say no to Hal. Yeah, he was wonderful.
So you mentioned soccer a few times. That instantly makes me think of Hal's father. Was that the connection you had with Hal, or how did you two find each other?
Well, Hal's youngest son, Randy, was a middle schooler at Astoria Middle School when I first started there. And so I think that was my first meeting. Not that Randy was in trouble.
Right. In the principal's office.
Nah. It was through the soccer association. I got involved, you know, early on in coaching and part of the board and doing grounds work. And I'm still coaching. I get to coach my granddaughters now.
Neat.
And so it's fun.
Well, that's so fun. Yeah. So you've also gotten into food insecurities, but then your latest is childcare. And we are in a childcare desert, again, a community need. And childcare, too, plays a role in education. And
absolutely.
So you show up at the table, every table, and often I remember having one conversation.
If there's good food, I'll be at the table.
Yes. There was a bunch of us in a meeting, and it was about childcare. It was a couple of years ago, so it was not one of our recent ones. And afterwards, several of us contacted Dan separately and said, "Can you just go and tell us when to show up?" And you're going to say all the same things that we are. And if you need us to say them, just say that we said them. And he writes back and he's like, haha, yes, I've already been contacted by all of these other people. I mean, and so to be that advocate is huge.
It's the room. A blessing. It really is, you know, and I deeply appreciate the respect that people have shown me in terms of recognizing my passion and my desire to help. You know, I'm a, as I said, a big believer in dealing with helping the families, not just the kids, but the families of our youngest citizens, our youngest community members. It's the greatest investment we can make, you know, not just in immediacy, but long term. There's so much research that shows when kids get off to a good start, when they're cared for, when they're supported, they grow into the maximum person they can be. And they don't need social services later in life. They're not incarcerated. They are contributing members to our communities, to our society, as people that can be a great resource, great contributors. And I mean, I've seen studies that say, you know, for every dollar you get $13 back. Mm-hmm. And that's over the lifetime. You know, they are healthier kids as they grow up, when they feel good about themselves and know how to take care of themselves and grow and that. So it's the role I get to play now, and get to pick choose the things I get involved with. I had the opportunity to help Napa School District start their first preschool. They just had open house last night.
Oh, nice.
for a new preschool. And that's our fifth and final school district in this county to now have a preschool connected with them. And
Which
we work with folks down in Tillamook County to do that. But childcare is different in some ways. And that starts with its huge need for infant and toddler care. But it's also a need for after-school care. Mm-hmm. And so we need to put our heads together, and that's what we're trying to do with some of the county commissioners, Mark and Courtney, and the county manager. We've got Eva Manderson, who oversees the Child Care Resource Referral for Clatsop, Columbia, and Tillamook County.
Great resource.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we've got some community folks who are very interested in seeing how we can move forward to put together a plan to provide an income that's appropriate for child care providers and respect them as professionals and make it affordable. Because right now, many families, they spend almost as much in child care as they do for their rent or their mortgage.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Really think about that. That's huge. It's amazing. Yeah.
So what an incredible advocate and passion for making your community better. In 30 seconds here, besides the sense of community and the ability for you to make a difference, you lived in Puget Sound area. You live here. What do you love about living here?
Water.
The water.
Yeah.
Ocean or river?
River. When I drove into Astoria for my interview at Astoria Middle School, I came from over 26th and through Seaside. When I saw the Astoria Megler Bridge, I felt like I was going home. I was going back to Puget Sound.
Oh,
nice. You know, my wife moved here after being a farm girl, and after a month, she says, "I love you, and I'll move wherever you ask, but please don't ask."
Oh, that's wonderful. So, I love it. Thank you, Dan, and thank you. I love working with you. I love what you're doing for my children and for our community. Thank you.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.